Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Here's your Hut 1, Hut 2, Tony, and the give to Harvey, and he's got it. Aggressively tackled, football comes out. Looking downfield, lofting to the end zone. It's Jacobs with the catch. Oh, my goodness. What a grab by the running back with Greenlaw in coverage. And the Packers have found the end zone for the first time today. Here he is on second and goal. Knicks throwing goal line. And it's a touchdown. Little Jordan Humphrey. Meanwhile, Jacobs. No one near him. Taken off. Jacobs to the end zone for his longest touchdown run of the season. Knicks. End zone bound. Pulled in. Are the feet down? Yes. Touchdown Broncos. Sutton hauls it in. To the end zone. Franklin has it. Touchdown Broncos. Sauce Harvey looking for his 10th touchdown of his rookie year. RJ Harvey.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
So every day, here before we start the show, we usually have a pre-show meeting. We have two levels of our office. We have the upstairs and we have downstairs where all of our studios are. ESPN Milwaukee, WTMJ, 101.7 The Truth. We usually meet upstairs. As we come downstairs, we see our teammates from 101.7 The Truth doing what we were just doing upstairs, planning out the show, having all these little discussions. And one of the hosts of 101.7 The Truth in the morning, his name is Homer Blow. And he will say every morning, he won't say good morning, he'll say great morning. Right, he is the most positive person you could possibly be around. Josh most days will try to race as we're walking down the stairs and say great morning before he says it to Josh. This morning, Homer Blow looks at Josh and goes, great morning. Josh goes, what'd you say, Josh?
It's a terrible morning.
Micah Parsons is injured. We're screwed.
Yeah. Get the forks out. Done. Stick a fork.
Season's that over.
Essentially, yes. And then you add Christian Watson to that mix. Weird game, though, huh? Weird game.
Well, yeah. I mean, everything just kind of fell apart after the injuries started to pile up in the fourth quarter.
Not only that, they were up by, what, nine?
Up by nine. So the way that
Gabe, I thought this offense sucked.
It did.
Denver,
it does.
I'm talking about.
Oh, Bo Nix played the best game of his career. Like, that is everybody.
Well, why is it happening against the Packers?
I don't know, but it is without a doubt, like, nobody disputing the best game Bo Nix has ever played in the NFL.
Best ever passer rating.
Yeah. Best he has ever played. Look, Chewy, they held him to 2.9 yards per carry.
I know.
Sean Payton ate Jeff Hafley's lunch.
Yeah.
And this was even before Micah went out.
Yes.
But
Josh, I agree with you, but the players sucked. They sucked. Come on. Keyshawn getting worked. You know.
But you mentioned it, Chew.
No sacks.
Well, I mean,
hardly any pressures.
Well, outside of Micah. And that was like the most depressing thing was, and it seems so simple to say out loud. It seems so simple. But you could just tell the difference of when Micah's there and he is not. Because Micah's disruptive. He's running all over the place. He's flushing Bo Nix out of the pocket and at least making Nix move a little bit. After he left, it was just nice, clean pocket that he can navigate. Nobody really getting home. Nobody getting pressure. It was a pretty stark difference between Micah and what the front four looked like. And now, to Josh's point about Hafley getting his lunch eaten, Halfley's going to have to come up with some pretty good game plans.
Yeah.
Because you got to generate pressure. You still have, I know you said the season's over, but you got to find a way to win games. You don't want to miss the playoffs. Yeah. Do I think this is a Super Bowl team without Micah Parsons? No. But you still want to make the postseason. You still want to get that experience for the younger guys on this team, what it's like to get there. You want to be able to rally and do that. And Jeff Hafley's got to put together a good plan.
Yeah. They're in danger. I could see them losing two out of the last three.
Chicago,
whatever they are, they're a good team. You have to say they're a good team. I'm sorry. They're a good team, and they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And they are extremely happy that their number one rival is coming into town on Saturday night. That this is going to be... I'm afraid, not going to lie. And then Baltimore's going to be fighting for their playoff lives. You know? So, Gabe,
Baltimore, Baltimore might be done by then, but we'll see.
Has Pittsburgh played or not? Oh, they're playing Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Miami has a heartbeat, I saw. I don't know how.
I mean, sure. Sure, they have a heartbeat. I mean, they're not they're not officially eliminated, but that's a team that I would expect Pittsburgh to be able to go and beat.
What happens if they don't make the playoffs?
I'm not sure.
I mean, what happens? I mean, where are we at with LaFleur right now?
I can't imagine at this point, after what we just saw over this stretch, and again, into the first half of the game, you know, the injuries derailed everything. Because the Watson injury is when things started to unravel on offense. Because, like you said, they were up 9. They got the ball back after a quick score, a 3-and-out, got the ball back, took the shot with Christian Watson on the play in which he gets injured on. And after that, everything just kind of started to unravel. Now, I can't imagine that they don't give him an extension and that they don't extend him. Because I don't know who you're going to get that's better than Matt LaFleur right now.
Yeah, that's
like you're gonna fire him just to fire him?
Yeah, but what does that extension look like, and does he want to sign it?
Tell you what, he's gonna ask for every dollar.
Yeah, uh-huh.
No, I know that, but what if they say, all right, we'll give you a 1-year extension? My guess is he's not gonna sign it.
And he says, I'm playing out my last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think you want to put your team in that position.
Yeah, no, you certainly can't blame Matt LaFleur for what's taken place in terms of injuries.
No.
Like any sort of even implosion here and a 0-3 finish, how much of that can you really put on Matt LaFleur? Like at some point, there becomes a preponderance of injuries. And it just affects. I mean, the air got sucked out of the entire stadium when Micah went down. It was clear that game stopped right there. Over, finished it, nothing left there.
The air got sucked out of the state.
I mean, it got sucked out of Denver, too. They were silent.
Well, I mean, that it seemed like there was, not that there were 50-plus percent of Packers fans.
There's a lot.
But there were a lot. I mean, there were audible go Pack, go chants throughout the course of that game. So there was a decent amount of Packers fans there. So, yes, once that happens, not great.
But, I mean, you blame that loss on the defense, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Packers scored on their first 5 possessions. The first possession they didn't was, again, the interception on the deep ball to Christian Watson.
Yeah. LaFleur still got his – he had his moments. I mean, the red zone was not very good. 2 of 4.
Yeah.
You got to be better.
I also think – I mean, Rashid Walker, didn't he have 2 penalties in consecutive red zone drives?
Wasn't great.
That set you at 1st and 15s and stuff like that.
Yeah, and against a defense that is really good, that you played well against, it's still a really good defense, and you put yourself in advantageous down at distances. I mean,
the Packers were up 9.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
The Broncos, Benjamin Albright's a reporter and a guy who covers, Jesse Palmer was talking about it. The Broncos were all like, that's a good team we just played. They took us there. That's a 10 wins in a row that made it 11. Everyone knew, like, the Packers are for real. The Super Bowl preview thing wasn't an exaggeration.
No, I was ready. If they won and they finished out when they were up, what were they up by? 9?
9.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to say today that they're elite.
Oh, I
said I needed 2 more games, but I said in Denver, Denver's very good, right?
Yeah. That defense is
Yeah, they're very good. So I was prepared to come in and say they're elite. Now I can't even say they're good. I'm sorry. I can't.
I mean, you have to wait and see, watch them play before you start making declarations like that.
I mean, without Watson and without Micah,
we have to wait and see what this Watson injury is.
I don't know, Gabe. how they're favored against the Bears. You want to explain that one to me?
Favored by a point and a half.
Because players typically don't move the line unless you're a quarterback. Michael Parsons is probably one of the handful of guys who will, and that's why it's only 1.5. It was probably going to be more towards 3 had they not suffered the injuries they did.
And then how is it 1.5? They lost their best receiver and they lost
their second best player on the team. Yeah, Christian Watson's not going to move the line.
No, I know he's not, but you compound that with Micah Parsons, and I'm like...
Yeah, Parsons, again, Parsons affects the line probably less than you think.
Yeah,
how much you want a point. How much you want to make a bet it moves? It moves to a pick'em.
I don't understand your obsession with the lines, man.
Because they're normally right.
Well,
especially this late in the year.
So, would it...
I mean, you got Zach Tom.
Wouldn't finding out the lines are usually right this late in the season kind of tell you that it's right? And you just disagree with it?
I don't know. It's too early in the morning on Monday to be thinking about that. I just know how Chicago's going to be. I just know how they're going to be. This is going to be their Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, because for them, there's blood in the water. There's no Micah Parsons.
There's blood in the water.
Yeah. Micah was the one who is, again, he's just the most disruptive player on that defense, and Jeff Hafley's got to come up. I mean, Jeff Hafley was going to have to come up with a better plan than what they had against the Bears 2 weeks ago anyways.
Yeah.
Because of the way the Bears were able to move the football in the second half. And now he's going to have to completely change that game plan. Because we know Micah's out. The Watson thing, I guess I got to wait and see what that injury is. Because, again, I thought it was a shoulder. The Packers were describing it as a chest. He had to go to the hospital because they had more equipment for testing there. They weren't sure if he was going to fly home with the team. He ended up flying home with the team. Again, I'm not saying he's playing on a short week against the Bears. But there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, which will likely be answered today when it comes to Watson.
My guess about, is it's his sternum, right?
I mean, yeah, sternum would be chest.
Shoulder,
yeah, that's what I thought too. But yeah. they were describing it as a chest, which I think is obviously something different than like a shoulder dislocation or a broken collarbone or anything like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a sternum thing, but we'll have to wait and see if what the availability is for him, if he has any at all for the rest of the season. Just everything around that was kind of strange.
Yeah.
But we do want to hear from you, 800-990-3776, on the Carbless Talk and Text line. How are we feeling today? Because we do have somebody saying, hey, we got to be a little bit positive. It's tough today. I understand there's a game playing on Saturday, and I'll probably be more positive or try to be more positive as the week goes along. But today's a tough day to be positive because of the injury to Micah Parsons, because of everything that went into that, and because... Again, up 9, I'm with you, Chew. I'm thinking, up 9, they get the ball back. I'm like, man, they could put this thing away.
Yeah.
Like, they could put this thing away in the third quarter, go on the road, put it away against that team, against that defense.
Yep.
And you're feeling, this team's got it. This team, maybe they don't win the Super Bowl, but they're going to have a hell of an opportunity in front of them.
That's what I was feeling.
And everything just started to unravel over the next 28 minutes of gameplay in Denver.
Yeah.
And that's just tough, man. I can't think of a was there a loss like this that you would have had in your career? Yeah. What was that loss?
Denver in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But at least you're all the way there, you know? Like, this is over before you even start.
No, I know. That was, like, surreal. It was very, it's just like, and it happened so fast.
When was the last time you came out of a game feeling this way? Collarbone for Rodgers? Where you're just like, well, that's it.
Jordy?
Yeah, but...
Remember Jordy early in the year? I remember that feeling. It's like this season's...
Yeah, that 2015. But even then, like, it was preseason, and then they started that season 6-0 in 2015. The last time I felt like this coming out of a loss is a great question. Because even those collarbones, like the first time it happened, you started doing the math and you're like, okay, I think he might be able to come back. And obviously he did. And then the second time around, You thought he was going to come back and lead him to the playoffs because that's just what Aaron Rodgers does. So there was still like a glimmer of hope because it was Aaron Rodgers and he had all of this history behind him. I still think this team can make the playoffs. And again, I think that's an important thing for the team. You're going from a potential, I mean, maybe not a favorite because the Rams looked pretty good too yesterday.
Yeah, but they lose Devontae. You don't know what happens.
Yeah,
there.
That's true.
And that wasn't just a strain. I mean, he went down.
No, he went down with a bad hamstring injury yesterday. So that's something that they got away. But you're thinking, I mean, if none of these injuries happened yesterday, they win the game in Denver. I mean, we're out of control. Like, Chewy's annoyed with you and me because we're out of control Super Bowl hype today. And to pivot from that to where I feel now, like I.
But how would you feel if they just lost the game and Parsons didn't get hurt?
If Parsons kind of the same.
No.
No, I wouldn't be this deflated.
No, this is a different...
I mean the same I felt last week.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like, where it's like, okay,
good team probably could do some things in the playoffs.
It was a good game.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
one seed's gone, but you know,
you were
still
playing on the road. It's a tough situation.
Have this game against the Bears.
Yes.
Can still win the division. Be that two seed. Let's see what happens in the postseason.
Yes, that's what I meant. Like, we would have probably, there wouldn't have been much difference between how we felt last week and this week.
Yeah,
had they lost by six.
Yes, we'd still pick them apart.
Of course.
Oh yeah. But I think it would be more of a, maybe they're not the favorite, but if they get a couple of bounces their way in the postseason, they can make a run at this thing, you know, that type of thing. Where they're not the best, but they're one of the really good ones.
But these are, I'm telling you, going into, I know I'm, going into this game against Chicago is so hard. You know, it is. It's just from a mental grind. You lost your second best player on the team.
Yeah. Well, so
and there's a chance you lost your what? What's Watson? Sixth or seventh best player on the team?
He's a top 10 guy, yeah.
Uh-huh. He's a top 10 guy. That's
after you've already lost Tucker Kraft.
To recover.
Right? Like, after you've already
a top five guy.
Figured out that, okay, we can still survive without Tucker Kraft on this team. Look at the way Christian Watson's playing. He's really stepped his game up. And then for him to go down, that's the tough part about that one as well, right? Is you've already suffered some tough injuries on that side of the football that you were starting to figure out a way out. So I do want to ask you about that because you went through something similar. Now, Reggie had the miraculous comeback, but I want to ask you about the Reggie hamstring injury in 95. So we'll get to that. We'll get to your calls and texts as we continue here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But if you guys are still thinking sweater, candles, and same old gift, hey, how about you upgrade it? Take a look at this. The Jewelry Center is giving away a $2,000 Jewelry Center gift certificate. All you have to do is enter now at goodcoverbrands.com/Wisconsin contest. No purchase necessary. Contest ends December 23rd. Upgrade that gift with the $2,000 Jewelry Center gift certificate available right now. Register goodcoverbrands.com/Wisconsin contests. Rules online.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Remound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
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 You could say robust.
Rebound.
Doesn't robust sound like a nice
rebound.
Word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat.
Well,
you're
there's
rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The replies on the Carbo's talking text line, Chew, are just... So here, I'm just going to read you four in a row because it just kind of tells you the roller coaster of emotions people are going through. Jeff in Cedarburg, we haven't been eliminated like the Kansas City Chiefs and some other teams. We're still in it. Okay. All right. That's true. Like, the Chiefs are done and they lost, you know, their leader in Patrick Mahomes to an ACL injury yesterday as well. Meanwhile, Jason says, I feel like I'm going to a funeral since I woke up. Watson's fragile. Micah is devastating. I'd love to believe they can rally around the injury, but they're a MASH unit. DC is really going to have to show his chops as a head coach candidate in the next few weeks. Why so many injuries? Wade, time to unleash speedy linebackers on the blitz. Nothing to lose. Mark, from pressure, diamonds are made. We still have Love and own the Bears. Mark saying he doesn't recall a more roller coaster season for any Wisconsin sports team. It's almost like every other one that I'm reading right now in the Carbo's talking text line. Positive, negative. But, you know, somebody trying to stay positive and somebody, again, Jason nailing it, at least how I feel. Like, you feel like you're going to a funeral. Like, I woke up this morning And I just, and I knew I was going to have to talk about this for 2 hours. Micah Parsons devastating the injury. And there's a lot of layers to this that we're going to continue to unpack, but it's just a knot in your stomach of, man, I know I have to, but I don't want to.
No, I know. And normally after a loss like this, you're like, you know what, let's play Thursday. Let's go. I'm not ready for this game.
So
I'm really not.
So you went through something similar. Whereas, in 1995, you guys hadn't won yet, but you were on the rise. You're on the upswing in 1995, and Reggie gets the devastating hamstring injury. Now, at the time, I think everybody, 30 years later, everybody remembers the miraculous recovery from Reggie's hamstring, right? And he's able to play.
But when he still wasn't there, Gabe.
Yeah. But when he went down and you guys thought he was going to be out for a significant amount of time, what was it like in the locker room?
Solemn. Because we thought he was done.
Yeah.
Because we heard it was a tear off the bone. And usually when that happens, that's surgery and you're done. Was that wasn't the San Francisco, we beat San Francisco that year, was it?
You beat San Francisco that year, uh-huh.
When he tore his hamstring?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was the year before. Yeah, so you went from, and he drove over, I remember, he drove over to Holmgren's house.
Oh, yeah. I remember
really
the story.
Doesn't happen. Yeah, and he told him, obviously God healed his hamstring. Well, God did something because he could play. he wasn't the Reggie, but he was still better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike is not recovering miraculously from an ACL. This one's done. But, I was just, how long did it take you guys to kind of snap out of it and go, okay, but we have a game this next week. Reggie's not going to be there. We got to play.
Yeah. It was a weird set of emotions because then he said he could play, and then everyone's like, yeah, but how good is he going to be? And he was actually still pretty good. He wasn't, dominant Reggie, but it's tough. I'm trying to remember the Sterling thing. The Sterling thing didn't hit us as bad because guys were starting to come into their own.
Yeah,
because really good.
And Sterling got hurt going into the playoffs because he had 3 touchdowns against Tampa.
Sterling got hurt in the Atlanta game, the last game in County Stadium.
Yeah, but he played the following week. He played the following week though. He had 3 touchdowns. Yeah, he had 3 touchdowns against Tampa.
Yeah, but that one didn't hit us as bad, because I think we were a little more prepared. He was kind of like, all right. He was the mother, and it's like, all right.
We got it.
The bird's got to fly the
next bird's
got to
fly.
Okay?
Yep. Yeah. Then you guys were able to handle that. 800-990.
This one will be tough, Gabe. This one will be tough. And we'll know early on because, like I said, the Bears are going to be sky high because they're now believing that they're good and they're believing in their coach. It'll be interesting to see if they're going to this game licking their wounds.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines and start with Thomas in Chicago. Thomas, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it feels like a funeral. I just went numb. I don't want to, put you guys on the spot, but it's like, again, Keyshawn and Valentine are just, not good. And I think we knew... I think when we knew they were not good, but we had hope with Parsons and a pass rush that would keep the holes. But it's like, it's the same team as before without Parsons. And Chewy, I know you talked about how you prefer having a bunch of mad receivers and with one goes down, another can step up. It's like, well, we kind of see when Watson goes down, no one can step up. I just have a hard time with the coaching staff and honestly it's on the players too, like Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness. It's like, it's your time to step up, but it's like, I don't know, guys, I just feel like this team is just the same old, and they're just going to fold in the playoffs. Is there any, and I'm just looking to next year.
I don't know if they're going to fold necessarily in the playoffs. I just don't know with the injuries that they've suffered. If these guys are unavailable, they're just not, they're not as good. The roster isn't as good as some of these other playoff teams, right? And how many times, Chew, did we talk about last year, man, yeah, this is a good team, but kind of feels like they're missing some of that top-end talent. And then they make the Micah trade. And that changed everything because now you've got one of the top 10 guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. And when you don't have that, now, do guys have to step up? Yeah.
Well,
and they're going to have to trust, and I know Thomas isn't going to want to hear this, they're going to have to trust Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon and those defensive backs a little bit more because they're probably going to have to blitz a little bit more than they had previously with Mike on the field if they want to get pressure. And you got to put some guys on some islands and hope you can get home before they get exposed.
Their jobs just got harder.
Yep.
Their jobs got harder. But hopefully there is the Jason Garrett effect. When we were playing on Thanksgiving, we hear Aikman's out. We hear their backup is out. I don't even know who that was back there. And we're facing their third string quarterback in Jason Garrett. And we lost. That was embarrassing. So hopefully the Bears are sitting there going, ha ha, no Parsons. Ooh.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it goes one of two ways. I look at it more as they see blood in the water with no Parsons. But maybe they take their foot off the gas because they see no Parsons.
I mean, this is a huge game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge game.
Without
a doubt. It's the North.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the North. So, God, does this feel...
I mean, if the Packers... The interesting part about this upcoming game, and we'll get to it more as the week goes along, but if the Packers win this game, the Lions and Bears are basically going to be playing a play-in game in Week 18.
Yeah. Yes.
If the Packers win. If not, if the Packers lose this game, there's a very good chance that Packers fans are going to be rooting for the Bears to beat the Lions so the Packers can get into the postseason as a wild card team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of things
connected. Do they play the last game of the year?
They play the last game of the year. So you play those division games, Packers will play the Vikings to close out the season. Justin in Middleton, you're up next. Justin, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hi, thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. And so I was born and raised in New Mexico, so I'm a lifelong Broncos fan, and I'm not here to be like Bears fans and be rude and disrespectful because I'm a regular listener to the show. And so if it gives you any solace, I mean, I've watched basically every snap this season, and Bo Nix has not played like that all season.
Justin, don't worry. The reaction I saw from everybody online, like every national pundit, like guys who break it down, guys like Dan Orlovsky are like, yeah, this is without a doubt the best game Bo Nix has ever played in the NFL. I wish it made me feel better, Justin, today. Unfortunately, it just does not. It just adds, it's like salt in the open wound of the Micah Parsons injury.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I mean, the stat was one touchdown pass in the last three games, and he goes out and throws four. And then also, I mean, one thing he doesn't do is he doesn't, you know, give up sacks. He just doesn't. He's the least sacked quarterback in all of the NFL this year in terms of, significant snaps. And so, you know, but I have respect. I was over in Stoughton watching the game with friends, and I wish nothing but the best for Parsons and for Watson. Packers are sort of my second favorite team, and so best of luck to you guys the rest of the season, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate Thank it, you. Justin.
Now, that was very nice. That kind of makes me feel a little better. No?
I mean, he was nice about it.
But... I appreciate the sentiment. I still feel terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what somebody could do to make me feel better about losing Micah Parsons for the season.
Unless they give him a new ACL.
Yeah. Which I would gladly give mine. I would gladly give him my ACL if it meant that he could play this.
You need those for golf, too.
I'd sacrifice it, Joshy. That's how much Micah Parsons means to me right now. Maybe it's also because, it was the highest it got was 6 degrees this weekend, and I've given up on golf anytime soon. Quite possible as well.
But doesn't it seem like this crap always happens to us? Oh, Bo Nix has his best game ever. Oh, who was it against?
Bryce Young had his best game ever.
Yeah, who is that,
Bryce Young's played well since then, too.
You could argue they turned his career around.
Started. Launched the career of Bryce Young.
Is there concern for next year? I think
that's a conversation we have to have. And I think we can dive into that coming up next. We'll get to more of your calls and texts on that Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Looking for a new car, truck, or SUV? Now is the time to buy because Ewald Automotive Group's year-end sale is here. They're saying yes to the lowest prices of the year on over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles. Yes to 0% financing. Yes to maximum trade values. And yes to no payments until 2026. Ewald's year-end sale is now through year-end. Yeah, it makes sense. The year-end sale. Go to ewaldauto.com. Credit on select models. Interest accrues from date of purchase expires month's end.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold
you
can be
shrinkage.
Good, too.
Yeah, well, no. Cold shrinkage can gets be involved. Good. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So I've seen this a little bit on the Carbless Talk and Text line, and you knew this was going to happen after Philip Rivers came back yesterday, Chew, and he looked better. I mean, he didn't look great, but he looked better than I thought he would.
Yeah.
And turns out Philip Rivers just can't help but playing in a Philip Rivers game. It felt like forever, whether he was in San Diego with the Chargers or even his last year in Indianapolis. It felt like every Philip Rivers game just plays out the same. He's got the ball with 2 minutes left. Score, you win. You don't, you lose. Now, he did get them in field goal range. They ended up losing the game after giving up another field goal. But he looked better than I thought. So now, because of that, people are asking, like Ryan from Iguanago, is Clay Matthews walking through that door? Old guys are playing again. Somebody had asked if, you know, what it would take to convince J.J. Watt to come out of retirement to potentially replace Micah Parsons. So people inspired by what they saw with Philip Rivers yesterday and trying to come up with old guy solutions for Micah Parsons being out for the season, or at least presumably. It hasn't been official, but it's presumed that it's the torn ACL for Micah
Parsons. Did you see who made an appearance online last night?
Who?
Think of former edge rusher that has no chance of ever being a Packer again.
I did see that.
A guy who's worn out his welcome every place he's been.
Retired this year.
Yes.
Oh, Zadarius. Uh-huh. What did he say?
He just put the eyeball emojis out there.
Oh, go away.
I think he's just stirring the pot, if we're being honest. I think he knows his time.
Oh, he...
Yeah.
There's no... I mean, he is the least self-aware person of all time if he's not aware of what the situation in Green Bay is. And
didn't he try
his
to
standing
beat up,
there.
Didn't he try to beat up LaFleur in his office? I mean, it was never confirmed.
LaFleur told a story to the Bustin' with the Boys guys and said there was someone in the locker room, and some people thought it could have been Zadarius. That's all just conjecture and guessing. But he would be the key candidate, and the timelines did seem to line up.
If I was a betting man, he's got to be number one on the list.
That would be.
He certainly makes a Mount Rushmore of guys who would potentially do that.
Yeah.
In that era.
It's been a rough morning. So 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Sammy in Whitefish Bay. Sammy, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, guys. Pretty sad this morning. Your funeral analogy is spot on. Quick question for you, though. If this thing falls apart the next couple games, is LaFleur gone?
So we were talking about that a little bit earlier, Sammy. I have a hard time believing that. Now, again, it's going to be a negotiation. And LaFleur, whether he actually was or not, the way that this was decided to be handled by Ed Policy, the seat was a little hot for Matt LaFleur coming into the season. I feel like that is the accurate way to depict this. I have said this at a number of different places. Like, I don't know how to define a hot seat if it's, hey, your contract's coming up in 2 years, but I don't want to give you an extension, and I don't want a lame duck head coach. Like, that... whether you intended for the seat to be hot or not, Chew, that seems like a hot seat to me. And I feel like LaFleur has answered that, especially with the way the team played over the four-game winning streak that we just saw, especially the first half yesterday before things fell apart, starting with the injury with Christian Watson. But I feel like he has done a good enough job this year to earn that extension. And additionally, although maybe you can convince yourself of it, because who knows what next year looks like with when Mike is going to be healthy, there's just a starting over period that I don't think they want to go through.
Unless, and we really don't know Ed Policy too well because he's only hasn't even been there a year, unless he sees Halfley as more valuable to this team than LaFleur.
You know,
I mean, I don't know how you could see that right now with the way the defense has played over the last six quarters.
Yeah, I would agree. But LaFleur's had his spots too, where he
sure
took a lot of heat offensively. I mean, it's all going to come down, because I still think Hafley gets a job somewhere. It's still going to come down to, is he comfortable with losing Hafley? And is he confident in LaFleur can, one of these years, eventually get it done? You know? I mean, what was your... Jordan wasn't great. We talk about stacking success.
Mm-hmm.
This has kind of been his MO.
He was really good for the in the first half. Like, Jordan was MVP caliber Jordan in the first half.
Yeah.
Throws the interception, Watson goes down, everything kind of goes. But Jordan, I mean, Jordan has to be MVP caliber Jordan for this team to do anything going forward. Like,
yes.
More falls onto him.
Oh, with the injuries, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the injuries, more falls now onto him to try to make up the way that Aaron Rodgers used to make up, the way that Brett Favre used to be the great deodorant and cover up other roster deficiencies.
Yeah.
To me, it falls on the guy you're paying the most money to over the final three games. Whether that's fair or not, that's just the way, to me, it falls.
What would you give him a grade for yesterday?
Jordan?
I mean, the one pick was
incredible.
A good play.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, he underthrew it.
The one that he picked off, that was a really good play.
Yeah. I mean, he underthrew it a little bit. And if he puts it out in front, but again, it's a ball that's traveling 55 yards in the air or whatever it was.
And then the one to Wicks, that wasn't a great throw.
No.
I know it was a tip ball,
mm-hmm.
but that's hard to do when you're running full bore and the ball's behind you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's very hard for me to figure out how I could possibly grade what happened after Watson and Parsons went down. It seemed that there was a clear change of emotion of everybody on the Green Bay Packers sideline, and I know you're still expected to perform regardless of what's happening around you.
Yeah.
But, like, the offense changes. You lose a lot of, oh, gosh, what's going to happen to this team now moving forward that we don't have Micah? Like, I mean, he didn't have his right tackle, wasn't playing. They were pressuring him on more than, like, on half of his dropbacks per every time he went back. Like, Rashid Walker had a terrible game. He was flagged more times than I could count.
Four?
Yeah.
It
was four.
Like, it seemed like everything, it was an implosion. And you'd like...
Josh Jacobs had a nice game, though.
You'd like that not to happen.
Did he come through healthy?
Josh? Jacobs?
Yeah.
I mean, as healthy as you could expect, yeah. I think.
He was on a clear, you could tell he was on a pitch count.
Yeah,
because
there would be like
whole series.
Yeah, where he would just not be in the game. So I think, I think he was on a pitch count. But I think he came out as healthy as you could expect for someone dealing with what he's been dealing with.
Because they're going to need him versus Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they even want a chance at this thing.
Yeah.
Because he
Chewy,
he had a great game.
How much are you guys aware of, like, injury updates on the sideline? So when Christian Watson has to go to the hospital, like, in my mind, that's a bad thing. Well, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Captain Obvious. Somebody has to go to the hospital, bad. You know, okay, that's bad. But, like, does that trickle out to you guys on the sideline, or is that something you don't know until after the game? You go back in the locker room, oh, hey, where's Christian? Oh, they had to take him to the hospital because they needed more of the diagnose, you know, the equipment that they can diagnose him better with.
You're saying the fact that he went to the hospital, would we know that on the sideline?
Yes.
No, we would not.
You would not know that until you went back to the locker room.
No, you're so into the game. You know he's out. But I'm not going to lie. With certain players, and Watson was one of these guys early in his career.
Sure.
Remember he had like four things listed on.
Oh, yeah, he took the one hit, and then it was like a hip back. Like,
There are players that you're like, here we go again. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, when they take him back there, they do x-rays, and the medical staff goes, oh, we actually have to take you to the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think a player's going, oh, get me to the hospital, doc. I don't think that's happening.
No.
So that's a medical decision. And I can, what I was wondering was, to Josh's point, like, it's hard not to feel the emotions when you're missing guys like that. And then if you hear one of your teammates has to go to the hospital, I would imagine that would play into that emotions, but you're saying that
wouldn't have gotten
to the sideline.
Gabe, I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
And it deflated us as a team, and it happened right in front of me. Right in front of me. Dallas NFC Championship game. Remember Gil Haskell,
oh,
the receivers coach? hit his head and fractured. I was
he
right
fractured
there.
His skull. I remember
because because Gil was the one responsible for sending in personnel grouping. So obviously, you know.
If you're not in the game, you're hanging out close to him.
You're right by him. And what happened is, I think Emmett came over to the sideline. I jumped back. Well, what? This is the old day where, you know, the headsets had cords on them.
Yeah.
And Gil got them wrapped around his legs.
Oh,
he didn't even know it. And he literally just went back. And then he hit the air conditioning unit that was right there. And play stopped for good. I mean, it felt like hours.
Yeah.
But it was probably 20 minutes. They had to take him out on the stretcher. And that's hard, man. It's hard to restart that because you can't get that image out of your head.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, there's definitely. But I don't think it would get down to us. You know? I don't think it would get down to
us. Okay, I was just more curious. I mean, you know he's not coming back into the game, so there's emotions in that anyway. I was just curious if that could get heightened to another level if you know one of your teammates
My guess is it's probably some kind of sternum.
That makes sense.
Which are painful. Those are painful.
Yeah. LaFleur will give more information on that. But we'll continue to take your calls, continue to take a look at your texts. Tough day today. It is not a victory Monday. Packers fall to the Broncos, 34-26, but maybe more importantly, Micah Parsons, presumed lost for the season with an ACL injury. But Connie's delivers pizzeria taste without the pizzeria prices, and right now it's BOGO at Pick and Save. Look, I know we're heading straight into the holiday season. You're going to have a lot of things going on, and you want to make sure that you've got something great in your freezer that's going to taste great, and you know you're going to love it. That's where Connie's comes in. If you haven't had it, it's pizzeria taste without those pizzeria prices, and that is 100% the truth. Cornmeal-dusted crust, all-natural premium ingredients on top. You're going to love that pizzeria experience from your home oven. And BOGO is going on through December 16th at Pick and Save right now. So buy one, get one right now on Connie's at Pick and Save through tomorrow. Take advantage because Connie's delivers that pizzeria taste without the pizzeria price.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywagon say you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, I think it's easy. I think we got a connected team, and I think, you know, I know how our guys will respond, and we got a great test coming up, you know, going to Chicago, a game that went down to the wire last time we played, and you know, obviously they roll today, so it's to go back on top of the division. So I know we're going to get their best, and they're going to get our best.
A somber Matt LaFleur after the game in Denver yesterday. Again, tough win. Arguably your best player, and Chewy, I know you've made the argument that you think Micah Parsons has been the more important Packer player this year for the team when he's down for the year. Ronnie on the talk and text line says, Parsons injury aside, Packers probably have the most bipolar units in football. Never seen a team that either has the offense play well, their defense stinks, or the offense stinks, and the defense plays well, game in and game out. If both units just played close to the potential in the same game, they could win a Super Bowl. But I think that's just kind of the nature of the NFL, too. You know, they're just up and down, especially this year. Even before the Parsons injury, it was tough defensively yesterday. Yeah. You know, they had some dropped interceptions. I know somebody pointing that out in the talk and text line. Kevin pointing that out in the talk and text line. Some dropped interceptions. Because even after the great play that Pat Surtain made, Xavier McKinney had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Baited Nixon to it.
Yep.
Knew exactly what was happening. Dropped and then the pick. Just didn't get there.
Well, he got there.
Yeah.
He got there.
Didn't complete the play.
Didn't complete the play.
How much better with Parsons, I'm saying, how much better is Denver's D than Green Bay's? A click? Not a click? Half a click?
I think their ability to get after the passer.
Yeah. And then having the defensive player of the year on the back end. Like the Packers linebacking core, I think, is clearly better.
Yeah, they played well.
I think this Packers safeties are probably better. But, like, Chewy, they're going to set the NFL sack record as a team. Like, the Bears have had that record since 85, and they're going to break that record. Nick Benito's really good, but they also have a bunch of different guys that get after you. They've got a defensive back who's got 4 sacks on the season. Like, in terms of guys that have had more than 4 sacks this season for the Packers, Micah Parsons, he's out. Devontae Wyatt, he's out, and then Rashawn Gary, who hasn't had a sack in 2 months.
Yeah. How much did Van Ness, did you get the numbers on Van Ness? Did he play?
It felt like he was out there, especially after the injury, a decent amount. And yeah. I felt like even with Mike out there, I felt like I noticed him more than I noticed Rashawn.
Let me tell you, I noticed Rashawn. I noticed Micah looking like a gazelle running next to him.
Micah's speed is just something else.
And I know, like, Rashawn, he's not the fastest guy. We all understand that. But the quarterback beating him to the edge and then him powering down and just giving up on multiple occasions the past 2 weeks, it's just really hard to watch.
Yeah.
When you see Mike out there giving literally everything he has, like, you don't know if that quarterback's going to come back towards the play field and give you an opportunity at a strip, but he's just completely powers down.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and text line. I do want to get to Mike, and I do want to address this text on the Carbless Talk and text line as we spin this forward with Micah Parsons. With the Parsons injury, it appears the Packers will have to look seriously at keeping Gary next season as they need some type of pass rusher. We address that. We get to calls as we react to the Packers' loss. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues in 2 minutes.